How are you, Russ?
Good. How are you, Gord?
Good. Good. So from a guy that's really in the know, if there's let's talk intrigue. What is intrigue right now in round one, whether it's a potential trade, whether it's a potential player that maybe as gives you the most intrigue right now about a possibility?
I'll say intrigue is still that third pick. Nobody knows what Dallas is going to do. Will they trade it? Will they trade up or down? I think everybody's given up on Philly trading out of the second pick or trading down. I think that sort of has simmered. There's still a little bit of thought about maybe Heisher going first to the Devils. I'm still not buying it. And when I do the pregame show later, I probably still won't buy it. There's an awful lot of talk about Ili Tolvanen now because he looks like he may not have the grades to get into BC. So now everybody's wondering where will he go. Will he play? There's talk that he might play for Oshawa next year. So now will that affect his draft stock? It could a little bit, but you know, you never know what happens and will make a player tumble just because little things happen right beforehand. But for the most part, the intrigue is really more with the centers and the defensemen. I mean, that's really where the intrigue lies because there's so many good centers and everybody wants a center. So after you get past the top two, you know, then when you're talking about Vilardi and Pettersson and guys like that, Cody Glass, that's the big talk. Like, who's going to try and either trade up to get those guys or just will those teams just select them? And then as far as defensemen, it's still there's still like a lot of people like Heiskanen as their best. Some people like Cale Makar as their best. I have Liljegren as the best. And so because of that, there's going to be some movement because teams' boards are definitely going to be different. There's going to be a lot of disparity there.
Russ, you brought up a topic briefly that we discussed earlier on the program, and that is Dallas at number three. And given the fact that you just pointed out defensemen and centers, I just have a feeling like why would they do – like that's the two areas they're looking for. Why not just stay put and pick the best available of either?
Well, that sounds like the easy thing to do, but, you know, last minute if they get a great deal. Let's say Vegas wants to move up three spots. Okay. So Vegas moves up three spots, and let's just say for argument's sake, they take Cody Glass. Well, okay. So then, you know, if someone like Heiskanen and Liljegren go off the board and then we're looking at maybe Gabe Vilardi going off the board, I could still take Elias Pettersson. I mean, there's still plenty of guys, you know, Cale Makar. I mean, so they could still get their center and defenseman and get some other assets too. And so that's – everybody always sort of looks for that. But I'm sort of in your corner there, Rob. There's a lot of pressure from ownership to win with Jim Neal. That's the thing. And even though we know Jim Neal loves the draft and would never trade out of the first round, he might have to trade down just to sort of – if he feels he can make his team better – and then still fill the need, just might not be with the player they originally thought they could. Or, again, there are those times where third pick comes up and they're hearing rumblings and they're like, you know what? We still think we can get our guy at six.
What's interesting, so you said, well, Liljegren, who I see one mock draft has him going 16th to Calgary, for argument's sake, and that's a guy that could trickle down to 16th or wherever, but is pretty solid value.
No, it would be amazing value, and it would be just that silliness again of a guy who didn't play a lot this year. He had mono. If you watched him 2 years ago, he was fantastic playing at the under-18s, playing up in age. So I just think we can't get too driven by any of the rankings by the media as to that's where a player is definitely going to go. Like, it's not gospel, right? Because teams, at the end of the day, teams don't care what we're doing. Fans do, but the teams don't. And so, like Gord, you know, back in the day when you were a GM, mock drafts weren't even in existence. So you couldn't have looked at them. So he could go anywhere from 5 to 15. There's no question. But whoever gets him gets a great player because he skates like the wind. He's a great passer. He gets the loose pucks first. I think he'll go higher than some of those people think, like with 16. I don't know if he'll get past, like, 12.
Russ Cohen with us, talking draft. Who's the top center to go besides those top two dudes? Who is it? Velarde from Windsor? Who's the next best center to go?
Well, you know, that's the interesting thing, because I could tell you it's Casey Mittelstadt. Another guy could tell you it's Velarde. Another guy can tell you it's Cody Glass. And you can't say anybody's wrong at this point. But those would be three names that come up right away. And so, like, I spoke to Mittelstadt yesterday. You know, this is post-combine now, post not being able to do a pull-up. And, you know, he knows he's going to work out in Minnesota. But I asked him a sincere question. I just said, hey, I know you're really into hockey. Like, this is your life. How many hours a day do you think about playing hockey? He thought about it. He goes, wow, that's a really hard question. He paused for a second. He goes, you know, it's really 24 hours. So I said, if you're sitting at the breakfast table, you're thinking about practice. And he goes, really, I do. He goes, this is it for me. This is all I do. All I do is play hockey. So he knows when he goes to Minnesota, he'll lift a few weights and he'll get stronger. But it wasn't part of his daily life leading into the combine. I want a kid like that, especially since he skates like the wind and has all the other attributes that he has. Great passer, great scorer, good head for the game, very smart. So when I get questions like that, so that's, for me, like, that's the Russ Cohen interview question. You give me that answer, I already thought I was taking you as the best center. Now I would be.
Russ Cohen joining us, talking about the NHL draft. Gord Stellick, Rob Simpson, NHL Network Radio, Sirius XM Channel 91. So, you know, we've mentioned that number three pick is a curious pick, just like who's going to go. And also, you mentioned a bit of a mystery. Will Jim Neal trade down? Jeff Merrick of the mind that Vegas is going to be aggressive, try to get a top two pick and move up. I don't know any other machinations you're hearing out there about guys that you think might be aggressive in trying to move up.
No, that's the main one. Maybe trying to couple their picks and make a bigger splash. I think that's a smart move. I mean, although they're going to need players, it certainly wouldn't hurt them to have those multiple picks. But to get into the top two, you know, now you're going to have to deal with Philly, and it's not going to be easy getting them off that pick, because either one of these guys, and Patrick or Hischier, are happy to go to Philly. And if you think about it, if Philly got Nolan Patrick and he comes over, you have him and Ivan Provorov, they were teammates, now you're going to have them on the same power play for the next 10 years or more. That's an exciting prospect. And so I'm sure Ron Hextall would not mind that at all. And then, of course, Hischier, he's fine with Philly. He's excited. He just doesn't know. He doesn't know where he's going to go.
Last crack at your surprise first round movement, or a guy that here's your last chance to say, okay, this guy's going to be, holy smokes, he went from 15 to 7, or he went from 21 to 6. Any of those?
All right. Yeah. I am going to go. I think there's a possibility of Kelly Yamamoto falling a bit, because even though he's supremely talented, he came in at 146 pounds at the combine. And so would it shock me if he came in now at the bottom of the first round instead of a lot of people thought, like, you know, around 18, 20? I think that's a possibility. I also think there's a possibility that Michael Rasmussen falls out of the first round.
Okay.
I think there's a possibility of that.
Yeah, one mock draft here has some eighth, as we say, the mock drafts, which kind of get you a little bit bleary-eyed.
That's a big difference.
Yes, it is. It is.
Well, there's a lot of opinions about this guy, and you know, it's not a guarantee, like, the way he's currently playing, that he would actually make the NHL. Like, there's going to have to be some alterations. And so it'll be interesting to see if teams say, all right, look, we love his hands, we love his size, we think we can do something with him, or teams say, you know what, maybe that 5-on-5 play is a bad thing, maybe the fact that he only had, like, 8 assists all year is a bad thing. Maybe we're going to just stay away from that. So to me, there's a possibility of that.
Hey, tell us about your coverage, Hockey Prospects Radio, and also SiriusXM 91, and et cetera, et cetera. What do you got going here the next 2 days there, Spiffy?
Yeah, so I will be doing the pregame show with Koulias and Malloy. That should be interesting.
What time?
And then that'll be at, I believe it's 6 Central. No, 6 Eastern.
Okay. Yep. Preview show. Yep.
Yep.
That makes sense.
And then there'll be a post-game wrap-up. We're guessing around 9:20, 9:40, if everything goes to plan and this becomes a faster, smoother draft. But, you know, I'll hold my breath on that one. And so think about 9:40 as the post-game. Then there's no day two. So day two, I'm roaming around like, you know, like everybody else.
Again, there's been no instances of a parent of one of the drafted players releasing a video of him with a bong or anything like that?
No. Nothing, you know, that's, and that's refreshing.
Yes.
It is refreshing that stuff doesn't really happen at NHL drafts. There's, and, you know, I just think it's a different lifestyle. These kids are just so into hockey that a lot of those other things just don't matter to them, you know. They're on YouTube, sure. I'm not YouTube, Instagram and Twitter and all that, but they don't get crazy with stuff. And so it is kind of nice. I do want to tell people, too, they can go to sportsology.com day two and read all the coverage. I mean,
okay, perfect, of course. We'll do all that. Well, you're a busy man. Thanks for joining us. We'll be reading and listening as well, because always appreciate your thoughts. Thanks, Russ.
Thanks, Corey. Thanks, Zimmer.
See you, Russ.